Find ourselves very much encouraged by what the brothers brought before us and very thankful. This morning we would endeavor to talk about the Word of God here, or the Word of the Lord. And I think we'll just open with a scripture. If you have your Bibles, let us turn to the book of Acts. Let us turn to chapter 7. And let us read from 30 through 32. Before the Lord this morning, we find here our title, The Voice of the Lord. Acts chapter 7, 30 and going. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord, in a flame of fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the Lord, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. So the Word of God is teaching us here that Moses was out in the wilderness. And as he was out there, there's a bush that sprung into a flame of fire. And from that flame of fire, the voice of God spoke to him in an audible, I think it was audible. It was an audible voice that God spoke to him. And what's amazing is that the last sentence here in verse 32 teaches us that Moses trembled and he wasn't able to continue to look at this bush that was on fire. That's amazing. And it goes on. As we read that account in the Old Testament, God said to him, take off your shoes. This is holy ground that you stand on. So my burden this morning for my own life is a simple burden, something that I have probably wrestled more with in my Christian walk than I've realized. And I have found myself many times seeking an audible voice from God. You know, we have these scriptures. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. We have all of these scriptures that talk about hearing God's word or hearing the voice of the Lord. And so it's just within the last, this last bit here. So, if we're not clear what is the voice of God or how we're to hear that voice, we're going to be open to a lot of different things in our life. So we'll find ourselves reaching for different things, trying to understand what God's voice is in our life. And it is important, the way God made us, that we do hear His word, that we do hear His voice, and that we know for certainly what that voice is. I think that one of the greatest causes for lack of blessing and flourishing in God's people is probably them not hearing His voice, not knowing what His voice is and not hearing it. And so this is a simple word today, but I just had the importance of it pressed on my heart As I meditated on this, and as Brother Matt shared on the Word of God, I was amazed. And Brother David talked about honoring God and His Word some. So I do think that if you can just follow with me in a simple way today and hear my heart, I think God wants us to know what His voice is and how to hear His voice. And I don't think I have all those answers today the way I would like, but I do want to set a foundation, and we don't want to, at the close of this message, we want to be sure that you all leave here knowing what is God's voice, what is the Word of the Lord. And I think many of you do, but I'd like for us to raise our level of, how can we say this? I think we'll keep going here. So, But Matthew 6:33, I'm not sure if these scriptures fit here, but it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And He says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, what I was thinking when I put this scripture in here, this reference, and I was thinking about how important it is that we hear God's word, that we hear God's voice. When God's voice is in first place in our life, there's many other things that we will not be reaching for. There's many voids in our life that will be filled. There's many things that will be taken care of when we're hearing the voice of the Lord. That was my thought, and maybe it needs some balance. But why don't we just stand here for a word of prayer before we proceed? That would be a blessing. Father, we're in awe as we're about to make words that we may have no business making. And as we're about to lift our voice and try to honor and glorify You, and it seems, Father, like we don't even have what we need to comprehend who it is that we're worshiping. And yet, Lord, there's enough revealed to us in Your Word that we are in deep awe of You. Thank You, Father, for who You are. Thank You that we can lift our voice. Thank You that everything in our lives, about our lives, every breath, everything about us is in Your hands. Thank You for being so faithful to us. Thank You for watching over us and blessing us and giving us all the things that we don't even deserve and Your mercy and all of these things. Father, this morning the things that are in my heart cannot be communicated with physical, fleshly wisdom. They cannot be even understood by me. So I just pray, Father, this morning that You would, by Your Spirit, that You would help communicate the burden, the truths, the things that You've placed on my heart. I pray that somehow You would communicate them to the sheep of Your pasture here, Father, that they would be able to understand and make sense of these things. And Father, we do pray that Your voice, by every soul here, that every soul here would learn to hear Your voice, and that this voice would be more special to them than anything else in the universe, and that they would cherish this voice when they hear it, and that this voice would change their lives forever, and that they could be led by You and Your voice. Thank You, Father, for each soul that is here. We pray You would continue to meet with us and bless Your word to our lives. Help us, Father. We love You. In Your worthy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Did want to encourage each one of you, if you would just take a few moments, turn your thoughts to your own life, to God, and allow God to just examine our lives by His word here today. The voice of God, or the voice of the Lord, as we read here in Acts. Now, we probably don't need reminded, but just as a reminder, the many voices, the many things, and the way we're made, it is easy for us to look to something for direction without us realizing it. So, what the enemy is trying to do is he's not really trying to get us to say, "Oh, I don't like God's word." He's not trying to get us. That's probably his ultimate goal. But he starts by saying this plus something else, or this isn't sufficient, or there's many ways he tries to trip us up. And I think I'm getting ahead of myself. And I think I'm not making myself real clear. But to start with, there are so many things that are waiting to guide us. There are so many voices that would love to have our attention. There's so many, there's so much knowledge, there's so many things that are all wanting to influence our lives. And we do know that. But just to start with, let us be aware of this. Let us just read 1 John chapter 4. Let us gather four scriptures that witness to some of this in our day. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. How do we know? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, a simple saying here is that the spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, in other words, that Christ has the power by faith to help us overcome our flesh. And his power, his spirit and his word are here to help us live a holy life. We don't have to be carnal and fleshly. That's how we test whether the spirit is of God. And let us keep going here. There's more that could be said there, but that's not really our message today. So the Bible here says many spirits are gone out, and we don't know what all these spirits are doing, but some of them are speaking. I feel like some of them are speaking through false teachings, through false prophecy, and through lies. And so it is that those voices that we just wanted to again remind us of today here for just a bit. But a voice is a sound or an audible noise uttered by our mouth or right of expression, but there's always influential power with this voice. When God spoke to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai, he came down on this mountain, and it's interesting because this mountain is still black, and when you take a stone from that mountain and you cut into it, this blackness goes at least a quarter inch into a stone from that mountain. Anyway, there's more that could be said there. We want to not go on any rabbit trail here as of now. But let us go back to the voice. So when God's voice spoke, and when he came down on Mount Sinai, it says the mountain quaked and trembled. And the people feared when they heard the voice of God, because it was powerful and there was influence with it. Now there's voices of less influence that influences to lesser degree, but just to lay the groundwork that we are made and we're impressionable. And when we continue to hear and give attention to and are directed by wrong influences and wrong voices, that affects our life. So a voice has influence. It has power. It can shape and mold us. The influence and power in a voice. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10 says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Why can I not pronounce that word here this morning? It means that none of them are without influence, and none of them are without power. That's in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 10. It talks about the voices in the world, as we're talking about. And none of them are just amoral, you might say. I don't think we can say that any voice doesn't matter. So if we're hearing God's voice some, but we're also hearing other voices, or maybe we're hearing God's voice, but we're also drawing influence from the internet or from social media or from books that have psychology, or I'm just wanting to lay this out. I'm not going to remember to bring all this in later. It's important that we, in my mind, it's important that we make the voice that we raise the level of importance of the voice of the Lord in our lives. And it's important to me that we don't have just the voice of the Lord plus direction from here, plus input from here, plus this, plus this. Think about this for a minute. How will this affect our lives 10 to 15 years from now? If we have the voice of the Lord, none of us would not want to have the voice of the Lord, but the voice of the Lord isn't really a sufficient. There's things that are lacking in this voice, and there's things that I feel like I need. There's things I want to know. There's knowledge I'm missing. I'm not sure what all there is, but I want us to think about the importance of the voice of the Lord in our lives. And what are we adding to that? What is it that we're trying to accomplish, or where are we trying to go? And so let us keep going here. But voices do influence us. And other voices, their ultimate goal is to drown out the voice of God. Now, all these other voices are not coming saying, how can we say all this? It's hard for me to put my heart into words this morning. Let's say one of the chief aims of many of the voices is not just to completely annihilate the voice of God, but to add to it and to try to enhance it and to slowly become more influential in our lives than the voice of the Lord. I think that's one of the points I'm trying to make here. And I'm making a lot of words, but that is some of my heart. Can we distinguish God's voice from everything else? You know, the enemy uses Scripture. Let us just read. You can be amazed at this passage. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 4. And let's just read this together, loud and clear. But notice the voice of the enemy here, the voice of the devil. And notice what he said. What he said wasn't really all that terribly wrong, but Jesus recognized the spirit and the voice in what it was said. Let us just read this to try to... This isn't really my big point today, and I'm probably spending too much time on it. But just to make us aware of the importance of God's voice in our life. Luke chapter 4 and on down through to 13. By God's grace here, may this word speak to us. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, notice, he came in a voice, I believe. I'm not sure. I guess the Word of God doesn't say how he came. But somehow he said these things to Jesus. If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. Notice, the minute that something of God is questioned, we should stop right there. Notice, if thou be. There was no doubt that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And look at these words here. May we take heed. He said, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with bread. The Bible doesn't condemn bread. But look at how Jesus recognized, and let's think about this. Jesus answered him saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The word of God. Don't forget this. The voice of the Lord, the word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. I didn't probably read that quite right. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Look at how powerful the voice of the Lord here is in the life of Christ. And this is what God wants to teach us as we make our way through this life, is He wants to bring His voice into our heart. And every situation we face, He has a word for us, and He wants us to learn to find that word and to know how to use it in our lives. That is some of my burden here today. Verse 9, and he brought him up to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And it was true, it was written. What the devil quoted for the most part was written. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. There's a whole message there. To tempt the Lord thy God. How do we do that? Do we ever do that? Tempt the Lord thy God? And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Here we see how Jesus Christ knew the voice of the Lord as he lived here on earth. He knew that voice and he called on it and he used that voice to not sin one time as he lived here on earth. The voice of the Lord. We see it's paramount in our lives that we understand. And if there's confusion in our lives as to what the voice of the Lord is, we will almost always miserably fail. But God wants us to know. God wants us to know what His voice is and what His will is in all situations. As we go back further to the beginning of the Bible, let us pick up some scripture here out of Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. If you're with me, maybe you should stand for a bit. I know it's getting a little later in the day. Why don't we all stand for just a bit? I want to do my part in helping you stay awake. And I know my voice can drone on and on and on and on. But as we read this scripture, may we stand. Because Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Now, who was it that heard this voice? Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve heard this voice. Isn't that amazing? I think it was probably an audible voice. But what I want to point out is, what did they do when they heard this voice? And this is what can happen so easy in our lives. What did they do? Let's keep reading. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Why did they do this? Exactly. We know this. And so, brothers and sisters, that's where it starts with us. When we think of the voice of the Lord, are we running from that voice? Do we want to run and hide? If we do, then we need to deal with God. We need to come to the Lord and repent. We don't want to fear the voice of God, and we don't want to run and hide, and we don't want to be afraid of that voice. And it's easy for us in our carnal, fleshly bodies. It's easy for there to be something between us and God, and us not seeking that voice, and us being afraid of that voice. And may God help us in that way. And let's just read the rest of this. Let's read it again. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. I try to picture what that looked like. Here was the voice of the Word God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Adam, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. Because I was naked and I hid myself. Can we relate to that? We hear God's voice, but we're afraid. What is it that makes us afraid? It's sin. It's when we, when there's things in our lives that are not right. And then God said, and He said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest me to me, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. You can be seated. The voice of God in your life. Is your life free and clear? Is God able to speak to you? Are you open? Is your countenance clear? Can you seek that voice and embrace that voice when it comes, when it speaks to you? Or is there something in you that makes you want to run and hide or to be afraid or to put that voice from you? Think of that this morning. Brothers and sisters, I haven't done a real thorough, in my mind, I'm not satisfied with the job that I've done of laying the foundation of how important it is. Who can live without the voice of God in their life? Who can do this? I haven't done a good job of laying that foundation this morning. But it's so important. Who every soul will shrivel and die soon without the voice of the Lord. It is absolute. It is paramount. Let me read. There's just a little account here I want to read, and it goes along with hearing the voice of God and being afraid. May we be reminded of the account often told of the little boy. He was found crying bitterly in front of his father's door, afraid to go on in. Someone asked him, "What is the matter? Why are you crying so?" He looked up and said, "My mother bathed me and put clean clothes on me this morning before I left. But as I went about playing today, I got all dirty and full of filth and mud. So now I'm afraid to go into the house because I'm sure my father is going to punish me for getting all dirty." And that can be us. There can be something in our lives that is keeping us from, with a pure countenance and an open heart in life, be quietly waiting and hearing the voice of God. If we're afraid of that voice, or if we're afraid of what that voice is going to say, there's many things we can fear. But I want you to think about that today. Is the voice of God able to speak to you? And is your life at such a place where you're seeking that voice, you're intently trying to hear that voice, and you are hearing that voice and embracing that voice in your life? Or are we afraid of it? Enough said in that way. All the way back to the book of Deuteronomy. And all the way through the Bible, we hear there's so many scriptures. I think it was, and I'll get to it later. I think it was, let me just read it here. Deuteronomy chapter 26. I tend to get excited and get ahead of myself. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 17 through 18 and 19. "Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in His ways, and to keep His statutes, and His commandments, and His judgments, and to hearken unto His voice." Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 17. God's telling His people here that they committed to hearken unto His voice. "And the Lord had avouched thee this day to be His peculiar people, as He had promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all His commandments, and to make thee high above all nations which He hath made, in praise and in name and in honor, that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as He has spoken." But to hearken unto the voice of thy Lord. The Hebrew word here is, I don't know that I can pronounce it, but it's shama. And it's over 1,000 times this word is used in the Old Testament alone. If I have, I looked it up, I'm thinking it's just in the Old Testament. But there's another similar Greek word that goes into the New Testament. And it means to hear, listen to, obey. It is best translated with four English words: hear, heed, understand, and obey. And in all, we find this word over 1,000 times in the New Testament. Now, I have a reference wrote in here that I'd like to move on back further here so I don't forget it. I don't want to forget this reference. Okay, there's much that could be said on how God used this word in the Bible. But God, the thing I'm trying to say is the importance of the voice of the Lord. It's important. It's much of God's word is, it's over and over in the word of God. Heed, hear. Isaiah 55 verse 3. Listen to these words. It's God's word. It's God's voice. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Listen to what God says. We could find many scriptures just like this. He says, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now here we just want to remind ourselves that when we hear of the Spirit and the Word of God, that they are one. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. We cannot by the Word of God separate the Spirit of God from the Word of God, from Christ, from God Himself. The Bible has brought them all together. And we do ourselves harm when we value one above the other or separate them because they're all one. Listen to these words from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. And it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Now what, there's no doctor in the universe that can separate the soul from the spirit. But the Word of God does. Think of that. The Word of God divides those two. And of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, the thing, how's everyone doing? Is everyone still awake and with me? We're slowly making our way through this. Why don't we all stand for just a little bit again, can we? Whoever can. Brother Paul Shirk had some really good messages on the canon of Scripture. And for years I had been taught that the canon of Scripture is closed by different men older than me. They had taught that these new revelations, these new things that come, that they're not Scripture. The canon is closed. And you have all these other Gospels, the Gospel of Thomas. There's a lot of them that could be named. But Paul showed us from the Word of God at the ministers' meeting. He showed us the authority that God gave to His apostles. And they had more authority than any of us by far. And we praise the Lord for that. And how the purpose that they had was to take Christ and His Word and His teachings, and they were to put them together, and that was going to be the canon. So let's just read a few of these things here. Luke chapter 1, let's read verse 1 through 4. And listen to these words. It says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Now, how could Luke be writing to Theophilus here? And how could he tell Theophilus what it is that they really did believe if there wasn't a clear understanding among God's people at that time even what was to be believed? What was the voice? What was the Word of God? The Word of God, I believe, it was defined clearly. Because as Luke is writing this to Theophilus, he's telling him what it is that we believe, and he knew what it was because he wrote it down. Even as they delivered unto us, which from the beginning are eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. You can be seated. Now, how could Luke write this to Theophilus if Luke didn't know what was truly the Word of God? Luke knew what was truly was the Word of God. It had been decided. And so he's able to communicate this to Theophilus. And then we have, further back in Revelations, maybe I won't read these scriptures, maybe I should. Let me just read them. Revelations chapter 2, verse 17 through 21. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's quite an invitation. There is no greater invitation. When the Spirit and bride are inviting us, let us respond. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, I haven't done my homework, and I don't have all that I'm not able to relay all that I'd like to on this subject. But I do want to say that this was the last book that was written, and John was on the Isle of Patmos as he wrote it. And when he wrote these last words, they were taken to the churches and they were added to the scripture that they had already decided was believed among them and was given authority among them. And this was the last book that was added to that. And when he wrote these things, it's the final word of God. It's the final voice of the Lord. And it's been a blessing to me. It's changing my life because it's important that we realize when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," this is His voice. And it's easy for spiritual mysticism, spirituality of any sort to have this mindset that, yeah, here's God's Word, but we still need to hear a new word from God or a new revelation. Or when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," He's not talking about the Word of God. He's talking about something that no one else has heard. Or there's so many different things that can be added to this word. But I've found tremendous excitement and tremendous freedom, my dear brothers and sisters, if I can communicate it today. When Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," they hear His word right here. There's nothing more powerful than this word of God. It interprets itself. We build our lives on it. And there's not a need to have this plus some other revelation, or this plus a commentary, or this plus, you can just go on and on and on. I'd like, my prayer is that somehow God will raise this way, way to the top in all of our lives today. And this is the voice of the Lord. He's not going to add to this. There's not going to be Revelation 2 or 3 or somebody that went to heaven that's going to have better revelation than what the apostles did in their day. This is the Word of God. It's what's given to us. And this, if this is in our life, we have all that we need, brothers. It's powerful. Open it up and make it paramount in your life. That is the burden that I have for my own life. I'm not sure if I'm saying it all right here, but the Word of God testifies to this. Now, can you go out to nature and meet with God? Sure you can. But it's not going to guide your life. It's not the voice of the Lord like His Word is. Nature isn't given for doctrine, for rebuke, for correction and reproof like the Word of God says that it is given. Yeah, God has... I'm not saying that we're going to contain God in this book. God is way, way bigger than this. But I'm saying that what is written here needs to in my life, it needs to become way, 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 way more important than anything else that we look to. It is the voice of God. This Word right here. It's God speaking to us. And it's amazing. It's another whole, and I have so much to learn about it, but it's another whole study. All the aorist tense and the future tense and the past tense and the present tense of how God's Word is written is another whole message that I don't have the ability to lay out. But this is not a dead Word that was written several thousand years ago. It is the Word of God to each one of us today. It is the voice of the Lord. And don't look anywhere else until you've looked here. Take it into your heart and into your life and build your life on it. The voice that we can be the most sure of is the Word of God. And when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," He's saying, "My sheep are listening to my Word. They're reading my Word. They're building their life on it." This is not just something we do, brothers and sisters. What's written in here is our everything. It's not meant to have things added to it. We don't just read this for an hour each day and then go out and find some other way to find God's will or find some other voice or find I would like to give you a picture of the power in this Word and what it will do for us. And I just feel like I'm not able to put all that I have in my heart in words somehow today. But Jesus says in John 8:43, why do you not understand what I'm saying? He says, "Why do you not understand my speech?" In John 8:43. He says, "Even because ye cannot hear my word." He says, "You cannot bear to listen to my message. Your ears are dull and shut to my teaching." And I'm not sure if I didn't put this out of place here. I might have. That reference might be out of place. And I'm not sure if I even remember why I put it in here for sure. It's leaving me as to why I put it in here. But let's go on to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read verse 13 through 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." This word right here, without the Spirit of God, is foolish to almost everyone. If we don't see this for what it is, the voice of the Lord, we will miss it. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Here again, what I was trying to look for is the Word of God testifying that this is the voice of the Lord. This, and we'll have more as we go here, I think. Here's one, Luke chapter 8, verse 20 and 21. I think that reference in Corinthians, probably I didn't explain that, and I was thinking here when I put it in here that the Spirit of God and the Word of God are together, and how I thought it was evidence that the Word of God is what it says it is here, but let's keep going. Luke chapter 8, verse 20. And that was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God. These which hear the word of God and do it. The voice of the Lord. These which hear the word of God. And my dear brothers and sisters, you're not going to be able to go sit in a closet somewhere for 6 months and have a better word of God than what was given to us right here. This is the word of God that Jesus is talking about here. And he's saying that my mother and my brethren are they which hear this word and do it. We don't have to spend time, looking for a new word or a different revelation or a fresh word that no one's ever heard. Or sometimes that happens. God gives us insights from His Word or all of that. But that shouldn't be our focus. Our focus should be on having this voice and having this voice lead us and guide us. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Here again, there's hearing and there's action. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, the wicked one catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Now James 4. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, how is God going to judge us for doing wrong if this isn't His Word, if this isn't His voice? We can know what He's going to judge us by because this is His voice. This is His Word. Hebrews says, And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Now, let's spend a little bit of time just reminding us that God is speaking. Most times it's just us that's not always hearing. Mark says, He hath ears to hear, let him hear. God promises that if we seek Him, we will find Him. God has already spoken. And so many times we hear of effort being put in to find out what God's will is, when God's will has so clearly been spoken so often. We just need to find His will. And His Word. His Word's already been spoken. God usually doesn't yell and scream at us for our attention. Many times it's a whisper, still a small voice, and He reminds us of His Word, His Scripture. There's an example here in 1 Kings of how God came to Elijah. I think we'll leave that. God's voice is to lead us, to direct us, and to guide us. John 15. Yeah, there's a lot here in John 10. John 15 has verse 7 here I was going to read. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done for you. Think of the power of those words. And my words, the voice of the Lord, abide in you. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. This is the voice of the Lord. God spoke to us in the last days by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, Acts 3:22, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. Talking about Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2, chapter 1, we're just going to finish up with some scripture here. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. The voice of the Lord. God's wanting us to focus on what he's written to us, on the Word of God. It says we ought to give more earnest heed that we don't let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? He's saying, this is the voice of the Lord. It started, the Lord started speaking, and then came the apostles and all those after him, and they spoke it and they wrote it down. And this is his word. This is his voice. As we heard already this morning, Psalm 19:11, the power in the word, and hit it in my heart. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I think Jesus is saying, my sheep hear me speak my word. And I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus in his own word, I'm just reminding you, we shall not live by bread alone, but we shall live by his voice, by his word, the word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That is what we shall live by. In John 18, Jesus ends this by saying, let's just read it. Listen to the last part, the last sentence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Listen to this. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone that is of the truth hears my word. I think we can use them in. Now, let's close here. Is it not a contradiction when we talk about Jesus Christ, but somehow his voice and his word take on a far lesser place in our life than what we give. So we put Christ, we talk about Christ, and that's all really, really good. But then somehow in our hearts we can his word can be, I'm not sure my words are not coming here today. So his words are way less in our lives than they should be, is maybe a way to say it. But so we have all this talk of Christ and him being Lord of our life and all of these things, but then when we think of his voice and his word, it comes down 10 notches sometimes in our life, and it doesn't mean to us what we think Christ does. But I just want us to think about this, brothers and sisters. They're one. This goes with Christ. We cannot have all this talk about Christ and dishonor His Word and disrespect His Word to the degree we do. That's their one. How can we separate them? It's His voice. It's His Word. That's what I'm trying to communicate today, and I feel like I'm not doing a very good job of it. But as Colossians, let's turn to Colossians 3. There's scripture after scripture, and I'd like for you to leave today, and I'd like for you to have a vision and a picture in your heart of the voice of God and His Word. And I'd like for that to be the very thing that you focus on and live for and take as much of it in your life as you can. The Word of God. It is powerful. It will separate us unto God, and it will do for us what nothing else can. Colossians 3 verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We could go to many scriptures like that. Let the Word of Christ be your life. Let it be with Christ, at least. What I'm saying is, some of it is, may we turn our attention and our focus to the Word of God, and may it become paramount in our lives. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts, turn to His Word. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Job chapter 33, verse 1. Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches. This is God talking to Job. And hearken to my words. Hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat. Again, I think the voice of the Lord, may there not be misunderstanding. May we leave here today and know that we should focus on the Word of God. And we know that, but I'd like to just, for the Lord to raise it to a higher degree in our lives, that we don't have to take an hour a day and then read five chapters and then have time where we're trying to audibly hear God's voice. It's deception. It's very deceptive. We're trying to audibly hear God's voice. God did that. He did it in the Old Testament, and He can do it again. I'm not saying He's not going to do that, but that's not what we should be seeking when we have His voice and His Word right here in our hands. And may it become more precious than anything else in life. It is a powerful Word. I'm not sure if I've made myself clear here today, and forgive me if I haven't. I just pray that you'll leave here today and that you'll make this the number one priority of your life and that you won't lower it below Christ. That Christ and His Word, this is His voice. This is how He's going to lead you. This is how He's going to feed your soul. This is how you're going to grow spiritually. This is how everything that pertains to godliness is going to come from this Word right here with the Spirit of God, empowering and helping us. So anyway, God bless you. I just want to encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters. Just want to encourage you to press in. Seek God and put His Word in our lives.